But I wanted to share a little something today, something that still along this theme of it's settled. You know, when something's settled, you know, in your mind, just think about it, a simple example. If something is settled where you're concerned, there's no discussion, is there? I mean, it's something is settled. I've settled something, right? Whatever that is that you've decided to do, you've thought about it, you've pondered it, and then you've made a choice, and it's settled for you, right? In other words, whatever that choice is, whatever that direction in life is, whatever you choose, you said, I'm settled. I've made my choice. It's settled. And there's no discussion. You know what I mean? There's no discussion over this. It's a settled issue. And so there's some things in the Word of God that God has written or spoken and through those that penned the Bible. He shared his will. The Word of God is what? The will of God. So we can go to the Word of God and see those things that are settled. There's no discussion. What is the Bible saying? Psalm 119, it says, forever, O Lord, how long? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So there's some things that are settled. There's no way around it, right? What does Hebrews 11:6 say? It says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God, what? Must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So there's some things that are settled. Salvation is settled. It's already settled. He sent Jesus. He shed his blood. He took the sins of mankind and paid that price. And that when he was raised from the dead, the scripture says that we were raised with him. So that means all of mankind's sins were paid for them. And he took it to hell. And that's what Ephesians 2 says. When we were yet sinners and couldn't care less about God, he died for us. Right? He paid the sin for us. He paid the penalty. And all he wants is for us to say yes, to acknowledge him and say, thank you, I receive you as Lord and Savior. But in the meantime, until such, he's already paid the price. And so Satan's, if he had the power to hinder us from receiving Christ, he could, but he can't. And we have a free will. We have a free choice. What is Genesis 1:26 and 27? It says, God has made us, he made man in his image and likeness. What does that mean? That means John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit. So he's a spirit. And if we're made in his image and likeness, that means I'm a spirit. So the real me, the eternal me, is the spirit. You know, sometimes it's, you know, in the natural, you know, we go to funerals and homegoing services, and if it's a loved one, it's difficult. But I can tell you this, the minute they stepped out of their body, they were in the presence of the Lord if they knew him. So really, we should rejoice, yes, we're going to miss them. No two ways about that. And we may shed a tear. But we know where they are and that their eternity is with Christ. And they're eternal beings. Their spirit is eternal. That's why it's a settled thing with God that because our spirits are eternal, they're either eternally saved or the eternally damned, right? Meaning, if I don't know Christ, I'm gonna spend eternity somewhere, right? I'm gonna spend eternity somewhere. It's either gonna be with him or it's gonna be incarcerated in hell. So it's important to realize God has designed all of this. He's settled some things. And one of the things that I wanted to share today is that the kingdom of God, if you look at Genesis 8:22, and then we'll look at Isaiah 55. But Genesis 8:22, he's just talking about the earth. He said, these are some things that are settled. He said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So all the folks that are pushing all the stuff, you know, I kind of laugh sometimes because we have God's word, right? And man cannot undermine his word. So all the stuff that's going on about, you know, the earth is going to come to the end and climate change and all of this stuff, I'm saying, okay, if you some of the people that are promoting it, I don't want to get on that, but the people that actually know the science, they're going back and they're drilling these cores of ice and they're pulling them out and they're analyzing it and they're saying it was a lot warmer millions of years ago. So this whole thing of climate change, you got to go and look at the word of God and say, when God says it's about time to end, it'll end, right? And not until then. Why? Because he already spoke. He said, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, it shall not cease. What does shall not mean? Shall not. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. Man can mess it up, but it's not going to come to an end. And then what does Isaiah 55:8 say? See, I like what God speaks. It's settled. And what does that mean? We don't have to worry. We can rest in what God has said. My thoughts, what? Are nothing. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Thank God. Because we can have some real funny thoughts. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. I like this. This is verse 11. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So what does that mean? When he speaks, it's going to come to pass. It's going to be fulfilled. It's going to prosper in the thing that he sent it. It means it's not going to be void or empty. It's going to come to pass. So forever, Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. You know, when something's settled, you know, I've shared this. I think we asked this question a week or so ago. If you're a parent and you say something at home, it's settled, isn't it? In other words, if there's something that you've determined, it's going to go this way in this house. This is the way it's going. It's settled. There's no negotiating. That's it. And what does that mean? You have the authority and the power to determine that. Well, it's the same thing. That's a natural thing. Or you could own a company. You could be the boss. And you say, well, this is the way it's going to be. like you to work here, but if you don't comply, then you'll have to find another job somewhere, right? This is the way it is. And you have the power to determine that. Well, that's the same thing in the spiritual realm. God is sovereign. He's supreme. And so he has the what? He has the power to settle something or determine something. So his word is what? Far above our words. And he doesn't change, right? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And so this idea of his word or seed time and harvest, one of the things that we got exposed to very early on with Pastor Sarah and Clinton, and because they had been in church all their life, they'd grown up in Baptist churches, many, many of them, Calvary Baptist, Canaan Baptist down in Harlem, and they'd been to many Baptist churches. But they were hungry for more of the Word of God, and God had put a hunger in them to desire more of the Word of God, and they began to do what? Search. Search for more truth in God's Word. And they became exposed to Brother Hagin. And I remember, even in my own life, you know, searching for something. And I remember getting saved, attending an Assembly of God church down in New Jersey. And I remember the pastor there at the time, he's in heaven, but he started to put out the Kenneth Hagin magazine called the Word of Faith magazine. And Brother Hagin wrote an article called Words, and he has a little mini book. And in that article, Pastor John, he'd make copies of it and stick it in the back of the church. And I remember that was my first exposure, so to speak. Heard him teach, but I got this little Xerox copied article, and my heart exploded. I said, oh my God, this is what I'm looking for. And I had always been, I don't know, there was something about words, even as a young person, I just had an affinity towards that and was intrigued with words. And so when he started to share that our words that we speak can change things, can impact things, and what we say will come to pass. My God, I started reading this article, and it was like everything started to explode on the inside, and I started to read more. It was truth. And your spirit, the real you, began to bear witness. And I began, this is the truth. This is truth. And I began to just read more and more on that. And so watching our words and him beginning to unfold in God's word, the truth of God's word concerning our words and what we speak and what we believe. And the things that we actually create, again, remember, we are made in God's image and likeness. So our spirit, we are designed to do what? Believe and speak. And what we speak, because your words come where? They come from your spirit. The things that you imagine, the things that you think on, they get planted, I guess is the right word to say, those things get planted in your spirit. And when you speak, this is why it's so important what you listen to, what you read, what you meditate on gets down in your heart. You know, think about it. You ever hear this story? This person said that lie so much, they actually believe it. Anybody ever hear that? Yeah, you said it so much, you actually believe it. Where? Why? Because it get down in their heart. They said it so much, it got down in their heart, and then they said it and they actually believe it. And so the things that we meditate on, the things that we speak, that's why it's so important. God has blessed us as a church, as a, not this, just this church, but I'm saying as the body of Christ, he's blessed us with spiritual blessings in heaven. And so these blessings are afforded us, but we need to do what? Think on them, meditate on them, and then do what? Speak them. And what we say shall come to pass if we keep speaking it. And don't let go of that. And this is one of the spiritual truths that Brother Hagin brought out. You know, just to digress, when I began to see this and I began to listen to this truth be taught, I began to take hold of it concerning my own physical health. And I began to speak it and decree it every day, every day, every day. Didn't miss it. I do it now. I don't miss it. I say it. Whether, you know, what do we sing before? I praise him when I feel like it, and I praise him when I don't feel like it. I decree something when I feel like it, and I decree something when I don't feel like it, because it's a spiritual truth. Your feelings have nothing to do with something being spoken and coming to pass. It's faith. Faith is not a feeling. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not our feelings. So when I believe something, right? You can be married and not feel like loving somebody, but you do. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Why? Because it comes from your heart. And that heart, you say, I love you, but I sure don't feel like loving you today. Right? I don't feel like loving you today, but I love you because what? It's in my heart. It's the same thing with faith. Faith may not feel like something, but I say it because I believe it, and it shall come to pass. You know, I would say this every day, say it every day over my body. This body is fearfully and wonderfully made. Every tissue, every cell of my body functions in the perfection God made it to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. Every tissue, every organ functions normally. My heart functions normally. My eyes function normally. I'm strong in the Lord in the name of Jesus. And I've told Pastor Greg this. I refuse to say I'm tired. I don't say that. I don't say I'm tired. Well, you say, well, what do you say? I just say I need to lay down and get a nap. I need a rest. I don't say I'm tired. You shouldn't say you're old. You know, people say, oh, I'm old. Don't say you're old. You're just more mature. Why say you're old? You're going to be old. Don't say you're old. Just say I'm more mature. You know, because the words that you speak and believe, you will create. If you believe it, you will create it. See, because we are made in his image and likeness, we're made in the image and likeness of God. What? God spoke and it was done. It was created. He spoke the world into existence. So we have his God-like nature. We're not God, but I have those characteristics where I can speak something and it'll come to pass if I believe it. And if I keep saying it, I may not believe it initially, right? But if I keep saying it, what? Just like the person that told the lie, if you keep believing something that God has promised, it'll eventually get down in your heart and you will believe it. And it will come to pass. I heard Jerry Seville say this, Reverend Jerry Seville. He said this recently at a Kenneth Copeland, their what was it, their Southwest Believers Convention. He said, when I first started the ministry, what did he say? When he first started the ministry, some 40-some years ago, he said, I spoke and I decreed somebody's going to give the ministry a one-time $1 million offering. And he said, it took 40 years of me confessing that, and it finally came. See, we give up too much. We just give up. We give in. Well, it didn't happen. After 5 years, 10 years, I guess maybe God didn't want me to have that. Baloney. What you say, you know, isn't it interesting that we're quick to believe the negative? We're all quick to believe the negative because we're surrounded by negative. We're surrounded in this world by negative. Everything's negative. You turn on the news, it's negative. But let's stay on the positive. You know, Pastor Hagin, he texts us things on Sunday morning. He said, my dad always said, stay on the positive. This is Brother Hagin. Stay on the positive. Speak the positive. Don't think negative. Don't speak negative. Because if you keep speaking it, you believe it, you'll have it. Maybe you are going through some negative things. Speak positive. Think positive. What does that mean? God loves me. He's for me. He wants my best. And so you talk that way. The steps of my steps are ordered of the Lord. And he directs my steps. And God is for me and not against me. What is John 10:10? The thief cometh not but for to what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. So if you're walking through anything that looks like stealing, killing, and destroying, it didn't come from God. And all you need to do is say, well, bless God, the devil's defeated in our lives. We bind him and come against him in the name of Jesus. Get out of the house. Kick him out. Kick the dude out. Don't entertain his stuff. Don't wallow in that. Don't wallow in worry and all of that kind of business. Think positive. Talk positive. Yeah. I mean, that's what we should do. But anyways, let me get back. So I spoke those things over my body. And I did. And I lived in it. I live in health. I haven't taken medicine. I don't and haven't. That's not some whatever. I just, you know, something the Lord reminded me of, that when we speak over our bodies and we decree health over our bodies, we're giving words that God can work with, and then the Holy Ghost can direct us if we're open. Because if we speak positive and we speak words of health and life and we decree that, then God can direct our steps and tell us how we should conduct ourselves in the natural. Everybody get my point? So sometimes we're thinking, well, we're just going to walk in supernatural divine health. We are, but we also have a part to play. We live in a natural body. We put stuff over our lips. And he may tell us by his spirit, don't eat that. Well, I want to eat that. Well, then you're not following him. See, if you're decreeing with your mouth, my body's healed, my body's whole, it's strong, maybe you're putting something in your body that's causing some detriment. And the Holy Ghost, by you decreeing that, see, you can decree something and hit your hand with a hammer, right, and hurt yourself. So all I'm saying is that our words are creative, and then God will direct us how to conduct ourselves. He may say, get a little more sleep. Don't do this. Don't do that. That's what he does to me. He told me, I don't know, 20 years ago, 15, I was on death's bed. close. Within 6 months, I was in pain for a year. I was decreeing all of this, and I wasn't changing. Nothing was changing, and I was in pain. And I came back from a family vacation, and I'm standing in the shower just like this, and I heard real soft, not I heard real soft, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. So I stood there standing in the shower, and I went, July, August, September, October, November, December. 6 months. Okay. And I did nothing. Because I'd been standing for so long, believing God, but I went and saw somebody, ended up, you know, when you're taking steps of faith, you may go this way, and that's not the right way. Well, that's what I did. I went the right, went this way, and he said, no, not that way, go this way. And so I ended up ultimately seeing a nutritionist. And in 2-3 weeks, it was all cleared up. See, but I could have disobeyed and not kept pursuing. And so he ended up telling me, he said, stop drinking coffee. So I obeyed God. Now, do I like coffee? Oh boy. I like me a good cup of hot, you know, strong, you know, espresso or something. I do. But I'm going to obey God because he knows something about me I don't know. Everybody understand that? If he tells you to do something. And so, in a time of prayer, this I'm just sharing things about how God has spoken to me and his principles of confessing the word. And so in a time of prayer, I was laughing at some symptoms, and I got over into a spiritual laugh. And when it subsided, the Holy Ghost said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And up to that point, I'd been giving 30%, sometimes more, 40%. And I was not seeing the fruit of that. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why am I not seeing this? How come I'm not seeing the good pressed down, shaking together, running over? I'm not seeing this. And so the Holy Ghost said to me, you're not working the word. You're not speaking the word in the area of finances. And that's what he said to me. If you'll do the same thing in the area of healing in your finances, you'll get the results, just like you're getting the results in your body. You'll get the results in your finances. So yeah, it's important to bring your tithe in, give extra, but you need to speak. You need to say, I sowed my seed. And I believe an abundant return is being given to me. And you keep speaking that every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Because your words are creative. Your words have power. And your words will produce if you speak them in faith. And sometimes we're not walking in the blessings of God because we're just not talking it. We're not speaking it. And so that was for me, that was a correction for me. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help me. He's trying to look, if you will walk in more than you know what to do with. You'll have so much you won't know what to do with, but you've got to bring it in. That's the natural thing. I bring it in and sow it, but I've got to speak because he said, what did he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? He said, he that ministereth seed, verse 10, he that ministereth seed to the sower, right? Both minister bread for your food. And he does what? He multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. So God promised, if I bring my seed in, I'm going to have food, and he's going to multiply what I sow. Well, that's a promise. He settled. It's settled. So if I'm not walking in it, can't be God's problem. Can't be, he's not the one not holding up the end of the deal. It's something I'm missing. I'm not doing something. So that's the key for me, is if we will take God's word and speak it, then we're going to walk in the blessings of God. So let's take a look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. In verse 20 and 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I like some of these other, I have a few translations here. this is in verse 20, it says, when a man's stomach is full, it is the fruit of his own mouth. It is the yield of his lips that fill him. So in other words, your words spoken or what is going to produce a yield or a crop, and that's what you're going to feed on. That's what you're going to be filled with. And I like this. It says, this is the Good News Bible, Proverbs 18:20. It says, you will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. And that's whether it's good or evil, good or bad. And then verse 21 of this same translation, Good News Bible, says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. So our words have an impact. In other words, when you speak something and believe it, it's going to come to pass. You know, I'm standing here, I'm thinking about things that I've said through the years that I reaped a harvest on, and it's like, oof, I didn't really want that harvest. But I said it, and I spoke it out of ignorance, and I'm thinking, you know, what was that old saying? I'm loud and I'm proud, right? I'm saying something, blah, 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 and I reaped the harvest. Yeah, wasn't a good harvest. So, you know, you bump your head a few times and you listen and you go, okay, all right, Lord, I'm going to change my mouth. I'm going to change my speech. And the things that you died and paid for, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have that. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk in the blessings of God. And God wants us to. He wants us to walk in the blessings of God. But what? We've got to believe and decree. I like this, the Message translation of Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. It says, words satisfy the mind. See, don't words satisfy the mind? They sure do. You know, we like words. And it says, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. And then it goes on. It says, good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. And then verse 21, it says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. So words, you know, God's given us some things, and I'm still back talking about this is something that's settled in heaven. You can believe what you want. You have the right to. God says you have the right. You have the God-given right to choose what you say and what you believe. But he has given us some principles that we can walk in the blessings of God. Just think about Mark 11, 22 and 23. What does it say? Jesus did what? He cursed the fig tree. And then they came back the next day, and one of his disciples said, look, master, the tree is dried up from the roots. And what did he go on? He said, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So those things, you know, Brother Hagin, you know, a lot of times I refer to him, but this truth, this revelation that he got, he began to decree it. Pastor Hagin was sharing, we were at some meetings last week in Connecticut, and he took time one evening to just talk about their upbringing. And he said, my dad really never talked about it. He'd say, well, I was under the barrel, and then I began to come up, and I'm still coming up. But the son had not a different story. He said he expounded on what they lived through. And he said they lived on beans and cornbread and not much. And he said his dad said he had the truth of God's word concerning healing. Why? Because he spoke and came off a deathbed. He came off the deathbed. But he said he wasn't working the word in the area of finances. This is Brother Hagin. And he was having a rough go of it. See, he didn't talk about it much. But he was not living a fruitful life in this area. And the Lord spoke to him about it. And so he began to do what? Began to speak the word and confess it. Even when he was driving a beat up old car up and down the road with bald tires, he'd confess the word. And so he began to speak it, began to apply the principles. Sow and you reap. Sow into the kingdom of God, you'll reap, but you got to speak it. You got to decree what you are going to have. You decree God's promises. His promises are mine. And so he tells us in Mark 11, what? We just shared it, Mark 11, 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain. What does that mean? Anything that appears to be immovable. A mountain in your life looks like something that's never going to change. Can't change, won't change, looks like it'll never move. That's a mountain, right? And we've all got those in our lives. Something that looks like is never going to change. There's no way this could change. But Jesus said, if you speak to it, it'll change. But you've got to believe that what you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. What does that mean? You say, when it looks like you can't own something, or just like Pastor Enrique, it looks like there's no way I could ever be a citizen and work through the process to become a citizen, you decree. I mean, we've heard people that got a hold of this truth. Pastor Sarah and many would go into the prisons. You'd see people that were incarcerated for 25 to life. They're out. What did they do? They began to speak the word of God, and maybe their sentence was commuted, or they were given a lesser sentence and they're out. So I'm saying that we can have what we say if we will do what? Speak it and believe that what we're speaking shall come to pass. So something in your life that looks like you'll never get it, you'll never have it, you'll never own it, you'll never achieve it, you begin to say, I'm going to achieve that. I'm going to do that. We're going to do that. We're going to have that. That's why I think it's so important. We're not subject to this world system. Remember, we're part of the kingdom of God. And we are God's, we are his children in his kingdom. And so those kingdom laws are ours. The benefits of the kingdom of God are ours. Just like you were what? If you were somebody who was a representative of this country living in another country, all of the benefits of this country are afforded you in that foreign country, aren't they? They sure are. And so that place where you live is identified as property or a residence or what would you call it? When they fly the American flag, they say that's as if it was United States property, right? So all of the protections, all of the benefits are afforded you. So it's no different. We're in the kingdom of God. And all of the benefits, all of the blessings, all of the authority that's been given to us are afforded us. We just have to walk in it. And God will see to it that it comes to pass. So, I mean, I remember, you know, when I first started in the ministry here, they could only pay me X amount, whatever that, you know, at that time. And I had been used to living a very comfortable life. And I, you know, left the job that I had, and because God directed me to. And I never asked them how much they paid, but boy, when they sure did, I was like, ooh, it was a shock to your nervous system, your mind, everything, right? Because now all of a sudden I got to make ends meet, and I'm thinking, oh God, how am I going to live? Well, up to that point, I was good at saving money. I had a good, a sizable amount in the bank account. So, you know, your natural mind goes, no problem. I'll live on my savings. And I did for about a little over a year. And then we hit empty. We hit empty. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoops, now we got to live on this. And so it was, all of a sudden you're down, oh God, please help, you know, help me. So what did I do? The Lord directed me. See, because I wasn't used to this. You know, when we work a job, a J-O-B, right, we're used to just getting that check and we don't exercise any faith. We're like, I got my money coming, everything's cool, and we're good, right? And you don't exercise your faith. I'm telling you, it's not a good place to be. Because if God directs you to do something, now all of a sudden it's like, now you're doing makeup time. Now you're like, okay, God, now I got to start working my faith and my words and blah, blah, blah. You should have been doing it all along. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I had to start operating in faith where my finances were concerned, quick in a hurry, because I hadn't been doing it up to that point. Why? Because you got a job, you're getting a check, you're living comfortable, and you're not exercising your faith in the area of finances. Well, what happens if all of a sudden the rug comes out from underneath? Maybe there's something, whatever, you lost your job, or maybe it's a health issue, and all of a sudden now you're like, whoops, should have been doing it all along. That's why we need to keep working our faith, working our faith, working our confession, speaking. Set a goal higher than you could even achieve. And you're working it, you're working it, you're working it. So if there's a bump, it's not a bump. It's like, no big deal. We got this. God's got this. So I mean, when that happened, I started decreeing where my faith was. So I started calling in extra, and whatever the ministry could pay me. And then all of a sudden they came back and said, well, we're gonna give you another $100 a week. And I said, thank you. You know, so that kind of eased the pressure a little bit. But it taught me a lesson, a great valuable lesson, in that up to that point when I was working for corporate America, I was just living good, had a good job, got a good paycheck, and was not working my faith. And we need to think about it because it's a principle that's settled. And the blessings of God are afforded us. God's not concerned about what you have. It's what you, where your heart is, right? So it don't matter whether you got two cars, two homes, five cars. It doesn't matter to him. But what's your heart? Where's your heart? You know, you could have, you could be a millionaire. I mean, we saw it in the Bible. He chastised the one that had money and should have given more, and the woman who had not much gave all that she had. Right? So it's your heart. It's always back to your heart. Where's your heart? Right? Oral Roberts said it years ago. You want to know where a person's heart is? Open their checkbook. Which is true. So I just share these truths because it will get you over in life. It'll propel you in the things of God. And these things apply just, I'm just sharing natural things where your health and money is concerned, but this could apply where your wisdom is concerned. You may lack some wisdom in an area. You decree, I have the wisdom of God. I know how to operate in this. And you're saying that all the while, what? You don't have it. Why? Because Hebrews 11:1, why don't we look at that? See, these principles work. Hebrews 11:1, what does it say? Faith is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, if you have wisdom, then why would you need to ask for more wisdom? If you think you got wisdom. So it says, if I need more wisdom to operate in life, then I'm going to decree it. I'm going to say, I have the wisdom of God. It's operating in me. The eyes, what is Ephesians 1:17? That he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? In the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. So when we decree something, what we're back to Hebrews 11:1, now faith, what is the substance of things hoped for? It's the evidence of things not seen. So when I begin to decree that God's giving me supernatural wisdom, divine wisdom, to know the choices I need to make in life, I'm decreeing that. Don't wait until you need it. Decree it now. And speak that you'll know how to make the right choices. You know, a lot of times, and in most times, people are faced with a very serious decision. And they're waiting. They call the pastor, and I'm like, I'll pray with you, but I sure, unless God gives me some insight or revelation, he's going to give it to you. And you need to be the one decreeing that I have the wisdom of God. I know how to make choices and the right choices in life. When they come, I'll know how to make that choice. Because so often, when there's a serious decision that has to be made, most people are like, I don't know what to do. They're rattled. They're at you know, they don't know what to do. And I can tell you, that's part of what I walked through when the Lord spoke to me and said, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Well, I can tell you, that really hit me eventually. I'm like, okay. And so now you get all kinds of professionals throwing advice at you. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. Man, I was getting blasted with it. And I'm like, I'm gonna hear from God. And maybe it's just my nature that I'm not going to just take, you know, whatever you tell me. It's kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's from my upbringing. You know, my mother's 99. She's like that. You know, she's not ornery, but she's like, no. You know what I mean? In other words, you get to a certain point, you're like, you know, God will put something in you to just say, wait a minute, just hold up here. So, I mean, I remember these doctors are flashing stuff at me. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And what? And because I've spoken the word up to that point so much over my body, I didn't have peace. It wasn't here, it was here. I just was not, I had no peace. They're saying all of this, you know, the lips are going, and I had no peace. And I'm like, see ya. And I turned around, I left. I didn't even come back. I didn't say boo. I never called him. I just said, you're an idiot. That's what I said in my mind. I did. I said, this was the top surgeon in a hospital, and he's flapping his lips, and I left, and I said, he's an idiot. No wisdom. Really. And then when I went to the nutritionist, and one of the reasons why I walked away from the doctor first was because he spoke negative. Everything was negative, 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 negative. And in the natural, it did look negative, but he kept speaking negative, 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 negative. And I went, nope, not for me. I don't want that working on me. You're just going to talk negative? Nope, not working on me. Not when my life is, no. So I walked away. And then I ended up seeing a nutritionist who was a chiropractor. And when I walked in, he spoke positive. Positive words, positive words, positive words. And he said, this is the first thing he said. He said to me, boy, I said, he called me boy. He said, boy, I'll have you turned around in 2 weeks. And I went, so I had that frown. And he looked at me and he said, boy, that's what he said to me when I looked at him. He said, boy, do you know how many of these I've done through my career? I said, no. He said, probably 4,000 or 5,000. So he had my attention. He was speaking positive. And all the time he's speaking, it's like this warm, velvety peace. I knew it was the right choice. And so I followed it. And then within 2-3 weeks, cleared up. Just like that. And this is what he said. My stomach was in turmoil. It was like a hard as a rock. It was on fire for a year. I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep. At night, I was in pain. Pain all the time. And this is what he said to me. And the top surgeon didn't say it. That's why I say it's important that you find out and know. And part of that is when you confess and speak, God will direct you to the right people, the right professionals, the right people to help you. But this nutritionist said this. He said, do you know? And I'm thinking, you're telling me you're a chiropractor who's a nutritionist, and the top surgeon didn't tell me this. I'm thinking, bozo. No, I'm serious. The nutritionist said this to me. Do you know your stomach will heal in 5 days if you stop putting food in it? And I went, no, I didn't know that. And that's what he did. And in 5 days, my stomach began to heal. The fire went just like this. Just like that. But the doctors, they want to load you with meds and drugs and cut you open. And this doctor said, who's a nutritionist, just like that, positive, 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 positive. And he had done it, so he knows. And he said, you know, if you don't put food in your stomach for 5 days, it'll heal itself. And that's exactly what it did. He put me on puree, like a pureed. You know, he just said, here, take some leafy green vegetables and this. And he said, puree it like baby food. That's what he told me. He said, you eat that once a day. I said, Doc, I'm going to waste to nothing. He said, no, you won't die. You'll live. You'll get enough nutrient. And I lost a lot of weight, a whole lot of weight in 2 weeks. But he did it for 2 weeks, and my stomach just went. But what I'm saying all that to say, speak the word. Speak the word. Confess what you believe, and what you say will come to pass. So whether that's positive or negative, whether that's good or bad, what does it say? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. If you walk through life saying, I don't know how we're ever going to make it, you know, every time we do this, blah, 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 you're going to have it. You're going to speak that negative over your life, and it's going to open doors to fulfill it. So when I say it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. But Brother Hagin, when he was growing up, when he had his children, he said, my children will serve the Lord. My children will be blessed. My children will live and not die. And they did. And they're blessed. So we can walk in the blessings of God. We can live in it. We can live in all the blessings that God has paid for us through the blood of Jesus. If we believe it and we speak it. And that's why it's so important, you know, when we see the things going on in our society, you know, we're all quick to badmouth people who are in authority. And the scripture is very clear. It says, first of all, we're to offer up supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all who are in authority, for kings and for all who are in authority, that what? We may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So he didn't say we're supposed to badmouth them. In one translation, the New Living Translation says, we're to ask God to help them because they need help. They need help. Some can't find, they can't find their way out of a door. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to poke fun, but I'm just saying they need help. They need help so that they can rule and make the laws of the land so that we are blessed, right? So we need to think about that, right? Praise God. Well, I just shared my heart. Hope I help you a little bit, because I can tell you, you should not have to. You know, isn't it a parent's desire, every parent's desire is that their children would have just a little bit better than what we had to walk through, right? Isn't that every parent's desire? Well, God's doing the same thing. He's given us his word. He said it's settled. He's given us the Holy Spirit, who's our helper, who's here to help us navigate the choices in life, but we got to listen. We got to obey his word, and this I call it principle, but this seed time and harvest, what you speak and believe is going to be what you're going to reap. So, you know, that's why, I mean, I, you know, sometimes it bothers me, but when I see things going on in society, you see the devil destroying people and civilizations. And, you know, a lot of times you see people that live, who've been oppressed in a society, whatever culture that is, or whatever group of people have been oppressed by other people, and then they get into an oppressed setting, and then they're oppressed more because they'll talk about it. And they say, I never, whatever. They talk negative because they've been oppressed. Instead of taking hold of the word of God in their oppressed setting and come out of it. That's what Reverend Vidar was sharing with us a couple weeks ago in Nanuet. He goes, he's based in Kenya. He said, I'm going into some of the poorest areas. He showed us pictures. Mud huts, your dog wouldn't live in it. I'm serious. Your dog wouldn't. You wouldn't put your dog in it. And people are living in it. And he's going into those areas, and he said, the problem has been that the missionaries have gone in and have gone into these areas in Nairobi and different areas, and they've thrown so much money to help them, to meet a need, feed them, do things, but he said they're never showing them how to sustain that, how to build a business, how to build something that can help them come out of that. So all they're doing is looking from one handout after another handout after another handout after another handout, and he said that's been the problem. He said, I will not go in and just feed them. He said, I won't do it. So he goes in and teaches them how to grow, how to build a business, how to sell the product that they produce. He shows them how to garden, and he shows them, they're coming out, he saw a place he went in, they were meeting in a mud hut. And he said, now he came back 7 years later, and he said he saw this beautiful church built. They just bought the pastor a car. And he said, can I come back and see, how did that all happen? And they said, what do you mean, how did that all happen? You're the teacher, you taught us. And they just heard it, and they obeyed it, and they began to work it. And these areas that he goes in, he told me, he said, I'm going into, and I didn't know this, he said, in September, I'm going into the slums in Nairobi. And he said, in the slums of Nairobi, there's a million people. A million. And yet, Nairobi has about 6 to 7 million people, population-wise. A million of that is in a slum. And so he's going in, and he said, we're just fortunate that there's a church in the slum. And he said that assistant pastor is a Rhema student. So he's coordinated everything. And he said, but I'm going in to teach them. I'm not feeding them. Not going in to feed them. And so he said, I'm going in. It may sound hard, but he said, but they learn these principles, they'll come out. And so for us, it's the same thing. If we take these principles and we work them, we'll come out of whatever situation we're faced with in life. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today for the time we've had together. Thank you, Father, for your word, which is settled in heaven. Thank you for the truth of God's word, that it doesn't return to you void. And we bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.